I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Well, it is a good life today to be living for the Lord. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we'll be looking today. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as Christians, we need to look to it for our comfort and for advice and for everything that applies to life today. A lot of people don't realize that the answers to life is found in the Word of God. So we'll look there today in Ephesians chapter 3. But first, let me encourage you to write to me today. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You can also look on our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. Go to that website today and you'll find a place there where you can actually leave a request for prayer. I'd like to hear from you today. Either write me or go to the website and leave a request. And also, I'd like to hear your blessings that God has poured out upon you. Now, we often think of just going to God in prayer and asking Him for things, but we also need to realize that God pours out blessings on us, and we need to go to Him and thank Him for those blessings. So share some of those blessings with me. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read a section of Scripture here, starting in verse 14. Verse 14 of chapter 3 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I want you to notice particularly verse 19 of chapter 3, where it says, "And to know the love of Christ." We need to know the love of Christ today, and that may sound strange to you. If you're a Christian, you say, "Well, I know the love of Christ," but I want you to think about it today. Do we really know the love of Christ? Now, for a Christian, we've experienced the love of Christ by asking Him into our hearts. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that the whole world could be saved through Him and by Him, by His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, by His death, by His resurrection, we have eternal life. The most important thing in the life of a Christian is love. We need to love. Paul's great prayer for the Christians in Ephesus was that they might know the love of Christ. Now, every Christian should know the love of Christ and how to enjoy it. So many Christians today really don't know how to enjoy the love of Christ. First of all, we want to look at three things here, why the Christian should know the love of Christ. And this is found in this section of Scripture that we just read in Ephesians chapter 3. First, we need to see that the Christian should know the love of Christ to be strengthened spiritually. Verse 17, it says, we need to know the love of Christ to be strengthened spiritually for a complete trust. It says they're rooted and grounded in love. Now, most people know and remember and have heard of D.L. Moody. We know the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and some of the younger people may not know who that was. He was a great man of God. D.L. Moody's favorite verse was Isaiah 12:2. It says, "I will trust and not be afraid." He used to say this, "You can travel first class or second class to heaven. Second class is, what time I'm afraid, I will trust. First class is, I will trust and not be afraid." What a contrast that is. We need to travel this Christian life and trust in the Lord and not be afraid. One little boy, upon hearing the song Trust and Obey, thought it said, "Trust and okay, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." The Christian today needs to be strengthened spiritually through the love of Christ. And then we see we need to be strengthened for a living faith. In verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Faith is to accept the impossible, do without the indispensable, and bear the intolerable. Now, the optimist fell out of a window in a high-story building, and as he was going down at each window he passed, he cried out to his friends, "All's well so far." Well, he hadn't hit bottom yet, and so therefore he had a living faith, at least until he hit bottom. We don't have to worry about hitting bottom with the Lord. With trusting in Him, by having the faith that was able to lift Him out of the grave and give us eternal life, we don't look to Him for blind or through blind faith. We look to the Lord knowing that He is able to supply the needs to strengthen us when we need help in time of need. Now, I want you to look at something else here, the reason the Christian needs to know the love of Christ and how to enjoy it. We need to experience the magnitude of Christ's love. Notice in verse 19 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, the Bible says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." It passes knowledge. It's not something that ordinary man can understand, but it's what the Christian understands. It's what is revealed to us through the Scriptures and through His Holy Spirit. We need to experience the magnitude of Christ's love. It's so big, we really can't imagine, as a normal human being, the bigness of Christ's love. We need to experience this love personally. You know, the song says, "I come to the garden alone." And as we go to the Lord in prayer, as we go to the garden and bow our heads and bend the knee, we speak to the Lord. We speak to Him personally. What a privilege it is to be able to speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today, the One who is the Creator of all things. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says the Word was in the beginning with God. The Bible says that nothing was made without the Word, because the Word was and is God. God created all things, and we realize that Jesus Christ is God. And what a privilege it is today to go to Him in prayer as we go to the garden alone. It's a personal thing. There is another song that says, "In my heart there rings a melody." What a glorious time it is when we get alone with the Lord and we realize the magnitude of His love and we worship Him in truth and in spirit. To experience the love of Christ is a personal thing. Now, I want you to look at something else with me in verse 19. There's two words there that says, "to know." In chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that we're saved and on our way to heaven through the Scriptures. It says, "And ye shall know the truth." The Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God doesn't leave us guessing. He lets us know through the Scripture that we have eternal life. And that word eternal means exactly that. Eternal, it's forever. I want you to look at something else with me. We need to experience the love of Christ to understand God's fullness. The infinite power within us is unimaginable. Verse 20, it says, and as we look at that verse in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power of God works through us and in us as saved people. In verse 21, we also understand of chapter 3 of Ephesians that there's salvation through Jesus Christ. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." As saved people, as people on our way to heaven, we need to realize that salvation is through Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." You don't keep yourself saved. "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Lest we start thinking as a, I don't want to use the term as a human being, because we are human beings, but that's exactly what it says. We need to start thinking as Christians in the spiritual realm of God and understand that we are not saved by our own works. We are not kept by our own works, but we are saved and kept by the power of God. For a Christian to be happy today, that Christian needs to know the love of Christ. We've experienced the love of Christ. Do we understand it? Do we live it? Well, we can by trusting Him, by putting our entire faith in Him, not only to be saved, but to lead us day by day by having a personal relationship with Him daily, going to Him in prayer, worshiping, and letting Him know that we love Him because He first loved us. Thank you for joining me today. This is Lewis Woodard of Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. Join me again next week at this time, and once again, we'll look into the Word of God, and we'll look at some of the great Bible truths that God has for us there. Look at the website today, lrwm.org. Thank you for joining me, and I want you to know that it is a good life.